grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Hands folded. Most holy God, the earth is filled with your glory, and before you, angels and saints stand in awe. Enlarge our vision to see your power at work in the world, and your grace make us heralds of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Please be seated. Okay, I'm going to show you a couple really interesting things. Thank you. But first of all, I want you to look up at the way the church roof is made. See, it's like this. Can you do that? Make the roof like this. Okay, now we're going to turn it like this. It is shaped like the hull of a ship, like a boat. So here's our roof like this, and if we would turn our building upside down, we would be in a boat. And that's why we call this part of the church the nave. That's a word that means like navy. It comes from the same root as that. The nave is like the navy on the water in a ship. So the church is like a place of safety. Oh, wait a minute. This is the water. Get out of the water. Come on, get out of the water. We're going to go fishing. Get out of the water. Luna, get out of the water. Come on, Julia. You're getting your feet wet. All right. So when you go fishing, there's a lot of different ways to go fishing, but today we're going to go fishing with a pole. So put your pole in the water. Put your pole in the water. And one thing about fishing, it takes patience. Do you know what patience means? What, Chloe?
It means you have.
You have to wait. That's what patience is. You have to wait. And that's what fishing is about. You're waiting. What are you waiting for?
The fish that you're going to eat or
you're wait
back into.
Right. You're waiting for the fish to bite on the end of the hook. So you're going to pull it in after the fish bites. But we're waiting. And one thing about fishing and waiting, you end up talking. But not real loud because you don't want to scare the fish away. So you kind of just mumble to the person next to you and you say, pretty hot day, huh? Fish aren't biting very much, are they? Oh, I got one. Did you get one? I'm going to pull this one in. I'm going to pull the... Oh, it got away. It got away. Today you're going to hear a story about Jesus talking to his friends. And they were fishermen, so he uses some of those same things. He says, you know, sometimes you just have to be patient and wait for the good things to come. And sometimes you have to work at it. You have to work for those things. And sometimes it's kind of scary to go and do something, to sit for a long time, and maybe you have to go a place that you've never been before to fish. You don't know that lake or you don't know that river very well, and that could be scary, but Jesus says in the story, don't be afraid. I'll help you. I'll be with you all the time. And maybe not just fishing for fish. Maybe we'll fish for people. Not to catch them like with a hook in your mouth. That'd be silly. But to catch them with love. To catch them and pull them into the nave, into the boat. We want to invite people to be a part of our boat. Okay, so when you go to Sunday school, I have a little treat for you. I caught some fish. Would you like some fish?
How many can I grab?
You can take that much. Well, not that much. We have to save some for the others. Would you like? Okay, so you start off. Off you go to Sunday school. I'll let you take a couple.
Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red, red, yellow, black, and white, they are
reading from Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces. With two they covered their feet. And with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots on the threshold shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth and with it said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me." Word of God, word of life. Yeah. Let us pray Psalm 138 responsibly. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise.
I will bow down toward your holy temple and praise your name, because of your steadfast love and faithfulness. For you have glorified your name and your word above all things.
When I called, you answered me. You increased my strength within me. They will sing of the ways of the Lord, that great is the glory of the Lord.
The Lord is high, yet he cares for the lowly, perceiving the haughty from afar.
Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you keep me safe. You stretch forth your hand against the fury of my enemies. Your right hand shall save me.
You will make good.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from 1 Corinthians. Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which also you stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaimed to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I have handed on to you of the first importance what I in turn have received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according within the Scriptures. And that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaim, and so you have come to believe. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Once, while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God. He saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long and have caught nothing. Yet, if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise.
When I was a child, we lived in just a block or two or three from Koval Lake. It was in Terrace Park, beautiful little place. And there was ice skating in the winter and in the summertime, paddle boats and fishing. And fishing was an early morning activity before the sun got too bright. Now, we didn't have any fancy rods or reels, and certainly no nets, no fishing boats, just a bamboo pole and a can of niblet corn. The only thing you can catch with niblets are bullhead. That was about the only thing that was in that lake anyway. And whenever we caught the bullhead, we had to take it to the neighbors to have it cleaned, because my mother would have nothing to do with gutting a fish. And the children were not allowed to use that big knife. Just like the old fishermen on the lake, we kids knew that telling a good fishing story was important to the activity of fishing. You're supposed to talk about that monster fish that you caught that one day, and then it got away. Or you talk about the perfect bait that you're supposed to use, the bait that's so good that the fish almost jump onto the pole, onto the hook. Well, today we hear a different kind of a fishing story. This is about fishermen not catching a thing after a whole night of fishing. And it's a fishing story about a carpenter who carjacks a boat. Can you carjack it? Boat jacks a boat, preaches a sermon, and then tells the fishermen where to get the fish. And after hundreds of pounds of miraculously caught fish, the fishermen immediately give up their fishing nets and start fishing for people. I told you it was a different kind of fishing story. And if there's anything that we can learn from this story, it's why some people don't catch fish. Some people don't catch fish because they refuse to go out into the deep water. Jesus said to Simon, "Let's leave the shallow waters and go deep." Now, everybody knows that the big school of fish at least the big fish, are in the deeper water. And the first rule of fishing is that you've got to be where the fish are. But we can't limit this lesson to fish. Jesus was teaching not a fishing lesson, but a spiritual principle. Instead of abundant fish, hear instead abundant love, wisdom, healing, peace. What the children were singing at our prelude, love, 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 joy, 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 peace, peace, peace. They were singing about this passage. All those things that we want in abundance. Some people don't catch any of that because they refuse to go deep. Deep water is where the increase is. But deep water takes faith. Deep water is a risk. Deep water, one has to focus mind and heart if one intends to fish in deep water. You have to pay attention to what you're doing. You really can't see much in deep water. It's dark as you get deeper. You've got to trust the words and the directions of others who have been through this before, who have passed through the deep waters and made it there. Jesus is always inviting people to go deeper, to move to the deeper end of things. But we tend to like the shallow water. It's quite pleasant in the shallow end, just getting our toes wet. There aren't any big fish gathered there, but you can see all the way to the bottom. Staying in the shallow end is quite a temptation. Shallow water isn't a risk, and it doesn't take a whole lot of courage. But Simon knew that, and his fishing partners knew that it's only sardines in the shallow end. And sardines aren't going to fill you up. Sardines aren't the desire of the heart. The deep water of faith is where those things, peace, love, joy, hope, that's where those things are swimming around. The shallow end is where we begin the adventure, not where we finish. That's the beginning of our faith story, not the end. There is a time to be in the shallow, but we're not going to catch what Jesus is calling us to reach for if we stay in the shallows. There comes a time when we have to move to the deep. There's a time to sit and worship the Lord in church. But there is a time to go out and be church. A time to leave the nets and to follow the Lord. To invite people to come into the water. Did you hear the baptism idea there? To come to the water and know God's love. Deep water is where we go to get what God has promised for us. So some people don't catch fish because they refuse to go deep. Some people don't catch fish because they don't expect to catch fish. When Jesus says to Simon, "Let us go to deep water," he doesn't stop there. He says, "Prepare for a catch. Expect something." I think that's really good encouragement. Now, this gospel seems to be, to me, a good message for people who go to church regularly. Week after week, we come to the deep water by remembering our baptism, by participating in the holy meal. But do we come prepared for a catch? Do we come believing that a blessing is just waiting for us? Maybe we come out of habit. Maybe we just come because we think that's what people expect us to. I remember a little cartoon that I saw a good number of years ago. And the wife is shaking the husband awake. And she says, you know, get up, you got to go to church. And, you know, let's go. And he says, you know, I don't know why I should go. I go week after week and nothing seems to be happening. I just don't know why I should go. And she said, you're the pastor. Sometimes we forget why, what we're about. Do you come believing that there will be a blessing for you? Or do you come simply out of habit? What are your expectations? Expectations count with God. It's all over in the Bible. Expect something. Expectations are the open hands of faith, the substance of the thing hoped for. Something's really missing when we don't have any expectation. When we say we believe in God, we're not saying that we agree with some abstract idea. When we say we believe in God, we're saying that we expect God to be faithful to what God has promised for us. You are my beloved child. This is my body. This is my blood given for you. Given for you. Expect something. I like how Jesus keeps pushing on Simon's boundaries. Leave the shore, Simon. Go into the deep, Simon. Those are easy compared to expect a catch, Simon. Expect a blessing. Jesus was calling Simon to take a risk without knowing what those results would be. Put out into deep water, Jesus says, and let down your nets for a catch. What kind of catch? Adequate? Abundant? A catch that feeds one person? A catch that feeds the whole village? The call to Simon is clear and simple. Put out your net. But the result is it's difficult to imagine. What should Simon Peter have expected? A catch seems fairly impossible, given that the fishermen had been out all night and caught nothing. To cast the nets again, the ones that they had just finished cleaning, this time in deep water, which means more work, more time, more labor. It just does, and now it's daylight, and it's bright. Even harder to catch fish. It just doesn't seem very promising. But here's the catch. Jesus is at work. Some people don't catch fish because they don't go out into the deep water. Some people don't catch fish because they don't expect to. Some people don't catch fish because they know more about fish than God. Simon almost makes this mistake. He tells Jesus in an exasperated tone, "We have been fishing all night. We know fish. You don't catch fish during the day. And by the way, aren't you a carpenter turned preacher? When was the last time you went fishing?" Some people think they know more about fish than God. It happens to all of us sometimes. It's not that we actually think we know more than God. It's just that we behave that way. We hear God's message, forgive 7 times 70. Bless those who curse you. Love your enemies. Give abundantly. Visit the sick and the incarcerated. Welcome the stranger and the alien. Remember the Sabbath day. Take care of the poor. Feed the hungry. Yeah, we hear it. But we ignore God's invitation to go deep, to expect blessing. We say to God by our actions, I know more about my relationships. I know how I should treat other people. I know more about my own life, about forgiveness, about generosity. I know more about myself and how I should live than you do, God. Simon, just for a split second, forgets that God is God. Our contemporary culture really doesn't have much use for the word humility. We've been told that we know best about ourselves. We know what we should do or get in order to be happy, and that the best goal in life is self-knowledge, personal joy. Society has done a number on us. Simon is at that crucial intersection that we all come to over and over again in life. And he decided that he didn't know everything, that his present emptiness and frustration had made him ready to learn. That's the best definition of humility, a readiness to learn. Some commentators say that the net full of fish is the point in this story. The abundant catch is the miracle in this story. But I don't think so. I think the real miracle in this story is that Simon's heart is touched. And he realizes that God is God and that he would live out that realization that Jesus is God starting right now. An immediate starting. But this was not the first encounter between Simon and Jesus. Just if we would turn that page in the Bible from chapter 5 to chapter 4 in Luke's gospel, we would see Jesus being going to Simon's house on Simon's invitation to come to his house, and he healed Simon's mother-in-law of a fever. And just a page before that, Simon Peter and his brother and his fishing partners are listening to Jesus' teaching and watching as he was healing. So this was not the first time when Simon Peter is cleaning his nets. So the two boats are there on the shore. There's probably others. Lake Genezareth is a huge lake. And they are, well, at least comparing it to Koval Lake, they're cleaning their nets. And the nets are have to be cleaned and washed, you know, bit by bit. It's a long task. So they come in from fishing all night long. They're on the shore. They're cleaning the nets. And Jesus is there. And there's a crowd of people, and they're all pushing around. Imagine this. They're not really listening to Jesus, but they're listening to Jesus. They're doing their work, but they're paying attention to what's going on right here. Simon and Jesus have a relationship, and now Jesus invites him to go deeper. Simon was going deeper with Jesus. He says, "Yet, Lord, if you say so." I know better, but if you say so, I'll go along with you. because Simon says to himself, he's got to know something more. My frustration is real. My tiredness, my pain is real. My emptiness is real. My desire for more is real. My despair is real. But yet, Lord, you are God, and I am not. And that's when our miracles begin to happen too. That's when we start catching fish. All of those kinds of fish. That's when we acknowledge that God is God. When our lips and our lives agree that God does know better than we. Rarely does God reveal the exact outcome for us. Instead, God reveals to us the means through which we are called to participate in that end result. God points to the deep, invites us to put out our nets, invites us to not be afraid. What we do while we are the created, equipped, skilled to do, we entrust the result to God, whatever the catch will be. Because when we know that when it comes to God, there's always a catch. And the catch is God's abundant, amazing love for you. Amen.